This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So the other week, we have a feeding ministry. I want to thank Alan. He doesn't like to take credit for it, but Alan started it. And once a month, Alan said, I want to feed people. And so I guess 4 months ago, we started. And the idea was that anyone could come. It was free dinner. It's actually really good. It's spaghetti dinner if you haven't been yet. Several of you have stepped up to help serve and to clean up. And this last feeding ministry, we had 100 plus people that came through. I know. And while I don't always stay for the whole dinner time, so it's from 5:30 to 7, we also have started adding like a prayer. We did a prayer meditation service that some people stayed for. But one of the things I enjoy is meeting people. So a lot of the people that come to this are our neighbors, which was part of the goal. And they can walk over, they love that, right? They can walk over, get dinner, go home. A lot of people stay to eat. Several people take it to go. But I get to walk around and meet some of our neighbors. And this last time I sat down at a table and enjoyed a conversation with a young man. And he told me that he's fairly new to faith. Now, the conversations don't always center around faith. Actually, Alan said, let's call it no preaching, just eating. Right? So the goal of the dinner is not to convert people, but it is to be hospitable and open our doors, which we'll hear more about when we talk about Lydia. But anyway, I had the opportunity, and you know, being a priest, people tend to want to talk about these things. And he was telling me that he's fairly new to the faith and that he's still learning a lot. But that his sister and his father are even newer Christians. Now, his father is upward in age, 70s, maybe 80s, a brand new Christian. And they decided that they would meet once a week via Zoom, because they don't all live in the same place, and just talk about their journey. What a beautiful community that they are building around this new experience with a life in Christ. And he shared with me that the most recent conversation that his father shared with him, I had no idea. I had no idea, and it makes me feel so good to know that Jesus is always with me because of the Holy Spirit. Now, my friends, as we head into Pentecost, which is June the 8th. Many people call it the birthday of the church, but it is when Jesus is leaving his disciples as he foretells them today. It is when he is leaving his disciples and he says, I am going to leave you with the advocate, right? When we think of an advocate, someone that's on your side. I'm going to leave you with someone that's on your side, and that person is not going to leave you, and you will know what is of God and what is of Christ because the Holy Spirit will guide you. Now, my imagination is that the disciples were a little confused. Now, being people of the Jewish faith, they believed very much in a spirit, right? Often referred to as ruach. Sometimes it might be described as the feeling of wind. You know, this was before they had meteorologists that could tell them where the wind actually came from. So when the wind blew, they're like, oh, the spirit. But Jesus is promising that there's God, and I'm going to go back to be with God, Jesus says. And one day, you'll get to go back and be with God and me. And he goes, but not to worry, even though you will not see me in person, the advocate is going to come and will always be with you. And this was this new understanding of this new Christian believer just learning what it means to follow the way of Jesus. Found so much solace in the idea that he was never alone. He says, even when I'm in my home, he was telling his son, even when I'm by myself, quietly in my home, Even though as I age and you know, my children, they live far from me, I'm never alone. Now, all across the world, there's been an epidemic of loneliness. And we won't go into details of what they're saying about why, but it was refreshing to hear someone who understood, freshly understanding their identity as a follower of Jesus, recognizing that no matter what, he was not alone. And Jesus is telling his disciples exactly that. But my favorite line in our gospel reading today, just to revisit it a bit, this is a part of the farewell discourse that Jesus is giving. It would be very common for rabbis and teachers of the day that when they realize they are about to depart, maybe on their deathbed, right? Of course, Jesus is healthy right now. His disciples do not know that what is going to happen in the future. This is right after they shared the Last Supper, right? They've all eaten together. So my guess is the table has been cleared. Other people have shown up in the room because we hear this is not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot has already left to go do his deeds of turning Jesus over to the leaders. So they're all sitting around and asking Jesus. And Judas, not of Iscariot, he shows up in other places, including in Acts. He says, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered them and essentially says, "I will be revealed to the world because of you. Because if you love me," Jesus says, "you will keep my word. And those who love me will keep my word, and God will love them, and we will come to them." We, being Jesus and God, will come to them and we'll make our home with them. And you'll be able to tell that I'm around because those who do not love me will not keep my words. And trust me, the word that I have shared with you, Jesus is saying, the word that I have told you over my time with you is not mine, but it's God's. So Jesus says, in a way, he's saying, you're lucky to those who are sitting around the room. You're lucky because I get to say these things with you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Jesus tells them, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them, your hearts, be afraid. I like to think of this line as saying, pray more than you worry. And he reminds them, now you heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming to you. Like, how can I do both? I'm going away, like you won't see me, Jesus, the person. I'm going away, but at the same time, I'm coming to you. And if you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going back to the Father. And I've told you all of this, and they're probably all looking quite perplexed. I'm telling you this before it happens so that maybe when it happens, you'll actually believe it. Now, a hop, skip, and a jump later, we realize that it takes them a while after Jesus had told them this to believe it. Last week, Simon Peter, had a vision that we read in the book of Acts. This week, Paul is having a vision. Paul, who was Saul, who was transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And he's having a vision. And the vision says, you need to go here. So again, we think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding Paul. Paul is having a vision. The Holy Spirit is, I need you to go over to Macedonia. Pray more than you worry. Paul is not familiar with that area yet. His journey has just begun for planting churches. But he goes. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, has led him there. And he encounters a woman named Lydia. Now, her story begins near where she has gone to pray. So she would have understood about God. And she was a merchant and had a flourishing business of purple cloth. And purple cloth, even in many parts of the Mediterranean world, purple cloth is still very much considered a very affluent sort of purchase to have and to be able to create. She's done quite well for herself. And she greets the other women and the friends on the riverbank outside of the little town of Philippi, which would be now modern Greece. And there she keeps up with relationships and hears news from travelers near and far. She's peaceful yet attentive. She's learned to quickly assess potential buyers and suppliers, right? So she's got business smarts. First question might be, as she encounters someone, is this person honest? Can I trust him? Vice versa, the person that she encounters might see says, does this woman, is she good? Is it safe for me to give her money? Will she provide what I have ordered? Ordering like purchasing. And she might ask, why does this man have such shifty eyes? The woman might be overwhelmed with all the orders that she's getting, but after all, she is a hard worker. And so the man who's thinking about purchasing and not quite sure if he can trust her, he looks and he notices that the stitches in her veil are very minute, very painstakingly minute, and so he gathers that she cares about details. So Lydia, her instincts are high on alert. And the women are soon approached by a man named Paul and his friends. Now Paul tells her how he once persecuted Christians. Once persecuted these people that follow this man Jesus. I once persecuted them, he tells her, to death. But I was transformed. I was transformed, he tells her, by a vision, seeing Jesus in a vision. And I came to know Jesus as the fulfillment of ancient scriptures. And because of that belief, because of the Holy Spirit who has shown me the truth, I now work as a missionary. I travel around and tell people about Jesus and I build faith communities. But not just any faith communities, communities that reach out, that speak of this eternal life of purpose. And who doesn't need purpose? Of purpose. And so Lydia, she listens to this man. Now she's doing quite well for herself. In today's standards, some might say, well, she doesn't really need God. She has everything she needs. She has a successful business. She has friends. She has relationships. But her heart is tugged. There's something so passionate about what this man is saying. He feels something differently. He must be speaking the truth. Does he know God? And I can see it in his face and in his eyes. This Jesus, she asks, of which he speaks, he loves me? He knows me? He was there when I was made? He was there at the beginning of creation? These are heavy questions. But within hours, Lydia becomes the first convert to Christianity on European soil. She was then baptized at the river along with her household, this new life in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know if she went back to the house and said, I have to show you and introduce you to this man, Paul, who told me about this man, Jesus. Or we don't know if they had been walked down there with the river. But what we do know is that she was so moved by the things that Paul was telling her about this man, Jesus, that she decided to be baptized. And in baptism, we experience new life. And when we baptize people in the Episcopal Church, we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that we are no longer ever alone, and that we have this voice of reassurance with us all of the time when we're willing to listen. And then she invites Paul and his friends to stay with her while they're there in Philippi, making her home one of the first faith communities on distant shores. Distant shores being separate from Palestine, where Jesus' ministry began. Her home, in essence, became the first house church in Europe. And her commitment to her friends, Paul and Silas, her new friends, will be tested. Because Paul will be arrested, Paul will be imprisoned, they'll survive an earthquake in jail. But they'll maintain their faith by singing and praying. They'll even convert the jailer there that's holding them captive and his family to Christianity. And they will go back and visit Lydia again. But they'll be dusty and bruised and starving and exhausted. Now, the reason that I share this story is because when we think about what it means to become a Christian, to join in this tradition, we learn right away that it's not necessarily an easy road. That Paul and Silas and his other followers are out there telling people about Jesus. They're converting people into this new way of life, and yet at the same time, they are being beaten down. Who does the world beat us down? And at the same time, they hold truth into what Jesus says. I will send someone to be with you. I wish that you would pray more than you worry. Now, friends, if we don't take anything away from our lesson today, what I hope it is the idea that we will pray more than we worry. And sometimes prayer just is simply that. God, I have no idea what to say, but please help me to stop worrying. Sometimes it's telling someone else about your faith journey, as I was so privileged to hear at dinner. While my faith journey as a Christian isn't necessarily new, it's kind of new every day. We don't get it right all the time. I don't get it right all the time. And I learned so much in that conversation with someone new. It was so refreshing. Maybe you remember when you first understood what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you had an aha moment. Or maybe you're like me, it was always sort of there. There was never really an aha moment, but as I've grown, it begins to make more sense without making a great deal of sense. My friends, this is a journey. And just like the people in our story today, we're not meant to do it alone. Everyone here is on a journey. It doesn't matter where we began, how long we've been on it. We can all learn from each other. But more than anything, we're not alone. We're never alone. No matter how alone we might feel, Jesus promised to never leave us alone. How might you take that truth and that knowledge into your life this week? How might you be that light for someone else that may need it in their darkness? Or how might you remind yourself of that truth and that light in your own darkness? Because the truth is like we read in our story, in our imagery in Revelation, there in the end, when God creates on earth what is heavenly. There is no giant building where it resides. There is no temple. There is no one city, for it is everywhere. Everyone has access to it. Amen.